Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Grateck Corporate Services Limited earnings conference call to discuss the unaudited financial performance for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then 0 on your touchstone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us today Mr. Alok Harlalka, Managing Director and CFO, Mr. Arvind Harlalka, Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Sumit Harlalka, Whole-Time Director. Before we proceed, I would like to bring to your attention that certain statements made during this discussion may constitute forward-looking statements. These statements are based on the current expectations, assumptions, and beliefs regarding future developments and are inherently subject to various risks, uncertainties, and factors beyond your control. Such forward-looking statements involve both known and unknown risks, and we advise you to interpret them with caution. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Alok Harlalka, Managing Director and CFO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grateck Corporate Services Limited's earnings call for quarter 3 and 9 months FY26. Joining me on the call today are Mr. Arvind Harlalka and Mr. Sumit Harlalka, our whole-time directors. Thank you all for taking the time to participate. The financial results and investor presentation have been uploaded on the stock exchanges and are also available on our company website. We trust you have had the opportunity to review them. For the benefit of participants who may be new to the company, let me begin with a brief overview of the Grateck Group. Grateck today operates as an integrated capital markets platform combining merchant banking, broking and market making capabilities to enable capital access and growth for emerging enterprises in India. At the core of the group is Grateck Corporate Services Limited, our listed entity and SEBI registered Category 1 merchant banker, supported by our subsidiary Grateck Share Booking Limited and associates company Grateck Industries Limited. Together, these entities function as a cohesive ecosystem delivering end-to-end client-centric solution across the capital markets value chain. Since inception, Grateck has built a strong execution-led franchise with a clear focus on compliance, governance, and long-term value creation. GCSL has successfully executed 60 public issues, including 58 SME IPOs, one main board IPO, and one follow-on public offer, and has also facilitated multiple private placements. Complementing this, GSBL operates as a SEBI registered stock broker and market maker, providing liquidity support to 63 SME listed companies while serving institutional and retail clients through a diversified broking platform. This integrated model enables Grateck to support clients across the entire life cycle from fundraising and listing to post-listing liquidity and investor engagement. Coming to the broader industry environment, India's capital markets continue to remain structurally strong and supportive for business like ours. The primary equity markets remain active in FY26 with 1.46 lakh crore raised through IPOs up to November 2025, of which main board IPOs accounted for 1.38 lakh crore and SME platform issuances contributed 8,033 crore, reflecting sustained demand for growth capital from corporates. This continues to provide a favorable backdrop for merchant banking and IPO advisory services. At the same time, domestic participation in the equity market has remained robust, supported by a growing investor base and increasing financialization of savings liquidity conditions in the secondary markets have been stable, which is particularly important for the SME ecosystem and reinforces the relevance of market making and broking services. We are also seeing a gradual shift towards professionally managed investment solutions with rising interest across mutual funds, PMS, and alternative investment platform. Overall, these industry trends continue to support long-term opportunities across the capital markets value chain and remain well aligned with Gretex's integrated business model. Against this supportive industry backdrop, we have also taken steps to expand our presence in the alternative investment space. As part of this initiative, the company has proposed an investment in a Category 2 AIF to be sponsored and managed through Bahutex Ventures LLP, in which Gretex Corporate Services Limited will hold a 50% partnership interest as a designated partner. The proposed fund will have a target corpus of up to 100 crore, including a green shoe option, and the investment is being undertaken in the ordinary course of business in line with applicable SEBI regulations. We believe this initiative aligns well with the evolving investor preference for alternative investment products and complements our existing capital markets platform. During the quarter passed by, we successfully completed the listing of several client companies including Flywing Simulator Training Center Limited, MPK Steels India Limited, and Munish Forge Limited. In addition, we received in principle approval for SSG Furnishing Solutions Limited, Vama Women's Fab Limited, and Sriyas Fabtech Limited. We also filed DRHP for Brandman Retail Limited, Shoreflow Technocon Limited, and Aztech E-Commerce Limited collectively. These milestones highlight the strong execution momentum and the continued robust of our IPO pipeline. Moving forward, the financial highlights. During quarter 3 FY26, the company continued to deliver resilient operating performance across its delivered business model. Total income for the quarter stood at 54.8 crore, reflecting sustained business activity across core segments. The company reported an EBITDA of 12.3 crore in quarter 3 FY26, demonstrating a strong improvement in operating profitability on a sequential basis. EBITDA margin stood at 22.4%, underscoring the inherent operating leverage and disciplined cost structure of the business. Profit after tax stood at 6.9 crore, marking a meaningful sequential expansion. PAT margin improved to 12.5%, reflecting healthy bottom line conversion. On a 9-month basis, performance remained steady with total income of 144.8 crore and income from operation of 143.7 crore. EBITDA for 9-month FY26 was 34.2 crore, translating into an EBITDA margin of 23.6%, indicating consistency in operating performance over the year. Profit after tax for 9-month FY26 stood at 20.7 crore with a PAT margin of 14.3%, reinforcing the company's ability to maintain profitability through verifying market conditions. We continue to maintain a strong and well-balanced pipeline across both our merchant banking and broking businesses. On the IPO front, we currently have 20 active IPOs under execution, comprising 14 SME IPOs on NSE Emerge and BSE platform and 6 main board IPO mandates, providing healthy visibility across market segments. In addition, our market making business remains about with 26 active market making mandates. Of these, 14 mandates are on the NSE Emerge and BSE SME platforms, while 12 mandates are from institutional clients, reflecting the growing scale and depth of our market making operations. Overall, this diversified pipeline positions us well for sustained execution momentum in the coming quarters. Our subsidiary Greatest Share Booking Limited continues to progress towards its proposed listing. During the quarter, we remained actively engaged in preparative work for the same, which we believe will further strengthen the platform and support the next phase of growth across our market making and broking operations. Looking ahead, we will continue to prioritize execution excellence while building scale across our merchant banking and broking platforms in a measured and sustainable manner. With the continued evolution of India's capital markets, we believe the operating environment remains favorable and Greatex is well positioned to capitalize on emerging opportunities. We appreciate the continued support of our stakeholders and remain focused on maintaining open and transparent engagements. Thank you for your time, and we will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchstone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants, you are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Parth Patel from Patel Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Just had a couple of questions. First one is regarding the recent SEBI order that you received earlier this January.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know that is this as a final conclusion of the inspection and does the payment of the penalty effectively close the book or is there something else that is pending on it?
See, this is the final, this is the last inspection which we had. Okay, and this final conclusion order has been there now. So there is nothing is pending. After this, nothing is pending.
Okay, got it. And even though 50 lakhs is not that big of an amount, I just wanted to check that when it comes to, the operational impact of it, can we still fulfill all the orders that we have when it comes to the AIF license or is there any short-term shadow ban that has been put on us?
I didn't get your question. Please, can you repeat your question again?
Along with the 15 lakhs fine, is there any ban imposed by SEBI on us for a short period that you cannot fulfill any orders during this period or we can continue with our daily operations?
Yeah, there is no ban apart from this financial liability which SEBI has charged to us. There is no ban as such. And even no ban is going to have later on as well.
Got it. So it is the financial penalty, that's all.
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Okay. Next question, Alokji, I had for you. So in the last quarter, when we had the con call, I had a query regarding the bottom line for our business. And you had mentioned that we will receive somewhere around 40 to 50% PAT level margins. So I just wanted to know by when will we be able to achieve this?
See, we are expecting in this quarter, this current quarter, because if you remember right now is the report which I just read out. So we have mentioned that we have got an approval of 3 companies. Approval is already there in our hand. Remaining 3-4 companies, we are also expecting approval by this month only. And hope to list all the company within this quarter only. So once we'll have all the listing in place, so definitely what I have proposed last quarter, we'll be able to reach this quarter.
Q4 FY26, we'll be able to reach about, let's say, 45% PAT.
Yeah, consolidated, I'm talking about.
Consolidated.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's all from my side for now. I'll join the queue again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vikrant Verma from RK Advisory. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have a few questions.
Yeah.
What is the GreatX's own capital commitment to the AIF, and is it expected to be material enough to impact the dividends?
No. To be very, we are committing only that 2.5% as a capital commitment of the overall fund that we are raising. That is 2.5 crore overall. And obviously, this 2.5 crore is not going to stop this dividend distribution. So, hopefully, this dividend distribution can be there. This is not going to impact our AIF investment as well.
Mm-hmm. And what is the 100 crore AIF via Bahutek Ventures? Is the focus on pre-IPO investment in companies?
Yeah, majorly pre-IPO investment, yes, correct.
And are there any safeguards are in place to manage conflicts between fund entry valuations and eventual IPO pricing?
Yes, yes. They will be separate in all the team, the investment managers, everyone are the separate entity. So there is, obviously on conflict of interest are there, but definitely yes. First of all, we are not going to invest only in such VIP opportunity where GreatX is involved. This fund is going to, invest in some other transition as well where GreatX is not involved. So that's part one. And as I said, the investment team and all are the professional people. So definitely all the checks and balances will be there. Some strategies are also there. So they are also assuring that there will be no conflict of, benefit to be given to the GreatX directly or indirectly.
One more question I have, with the 6 ongoing main board IPO mandates that have longer execution cycles versus SMS, so should we expect more uneven or lumpy revenue recognition in the upcoming quarters?
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Okay. Thanks for the answer, sir. I'll join the queue again.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejpal Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Tejpal this side. We are seeing some sign of SME IPO fatigue with subscription numbers starting to normalize. Do you foresee this leading to pricing pressure on merchant banking fee as a issue try to lower their cost of capital?
I didn't get your question. Please repeat me again.
Sir, there are a lot of talks about that SME IPOs fatigue. There are less and less subscription about SME IPOs. So, are we seeing any impact on pricing of, as a merchant banking partner?
No. You mean what pricing? Pricing means?
The merchant bankers, they charge to the issuer on the issuers. So, is there any pressure because their subscription is very less?
Okay. See, no. To be very honest, though we have seen in past, even currently we are also working in so much of mandates. So, definitely we are not decreasing our fees, whatever we are charging. So, there is no, compromising in terms of our fees if market is doing very poor. It doesn't mean our efforts has gone down. Even our efforts has gone more if the market is not doing well. So obviously we don't decrease our cost if the market is not too good. Even we try to increase, though we don't do that, but yes, our objective is to meet our expenses and the effort that we have put in. So minimum what we should get, that's all from our side.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nimish Pandya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning. Am I audible?
Good morning.
Yes. So my question is, you spoke about the tech growth from the broking arm. Could you share what kind of capital expenditure budget you have allocated for technology upgrades in coming year, FY26, and FY27? And just stuff how the growth would be.
No, I didn't get your question. Please repeat me again.
I spoke about the tech-led growth for the broking arm.
Tech-led group.
Yes. Could you share the kind of capital expenditure budget you have allocated for technology upgrades?
Technology upgrade, even obviously, it is a regular course of upgradation is going to happen, but there is no as such big CapEx going to be there in broking. Yes, there is nothing like that.
Okay. Got it. So my next question is, there's been a significant volatility in your EBITDA margins, swinging from 2.6% Q3, if I'm not wrong, last year, to 22.4% this time. So as we look ahead, what should we consider as a sustainable margin band? So is this the range of 22 to range with the new normal, or should we expect it to fluctuate based on the deal?
Yeah. So in the business like us, always Q1 and Q2 may be the lower margin in terms of regular, because if you see the listing, the number of companies which got listed, obviously first quarter will not have any much listing. Second quarter, we may have little bit. Third quarter, again, we may have little bit, and fourth quarter will also have major one. So second quarter and fourth quarter will always have better revenue, and first quarter and third quarter will have always lesser revenue. Then only we can have a consolidated, we will have 20-22% average for last 2-3 years. This year, we are expecting 40-45% PAT margin, considering all four quarters put together.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you. Thanks again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity.
Good morning.
I wanted to get some qualitative insights from you in terms of there has been some talk in the market about SEBI, potentially increasing the minimum threshold of net worth or sort of the track record criteria for investment bankers. So relative to smaller companies, how well capitalized are we to handle such norms if the norms are made more stringent by SEBI?
You are talking about for this eligibility for the investment merchant banker licenses, which SEBI has just recently increased the criteria, right?
Right, sir. Yes.
Yeah. So to be very honest, this is a very good step which SEBI has taken. It's not like that I am asking for myself. It is about this entire industry. So definitely, because this listing, whichever company wanted to list, they need to go to merchant banker like us. So it is always important to have such people only who has the knowledge, who has that capabilities to do disclosure has to happen. And considering all these things, it is very much important that the person who is taking the responsibility to disclose everything in the document which we are submitting with exchanges and SEBI, that has to be perfectly right. And I have seen so much of inconsistency in terms of the disclosure which keeps happening for last 2-3 years. Lot many new merchant bankers have joined this industry, taken the license. They are trying their best, but the things are not happening in a right manner. So these steps were very important. So according to me, in this industry, only such people should come in this industry who has the right capabilities, right knowledge, and as well as to have the more stronger ecosystem to sustain this market. So I think this is the right decision which SEBI has taken, and only limited people should come, then only this industry can do best performance, because as I said, we have seen so many irregularities in this entire ecosystem. So this steps was correctly taken by SEBI, according to me.
Got it. Okay, sir. That's very useful. So just a little insight on the number of SME IPOs that have been coming out after, you know, such a surge in SME IPOs over the recent past. Do you see the number plateauing out in the coming months? And do you foresee any pricing pressure in terms of merchant banking fees because of this? That is one thing. And second question was pertaining to the same aspect is, if main board IPOs, do you see in terms of executing main board IPOs, does it require a different level of investment or in terms of skills compared to SME IPOs?
See, first question was about the, you mean how the valuation is going to happen, how the merchant banker fees is going to impact, right? That was the first question.
Right, sir. Considering whether you see the number of SME IPOs sort of slowing down compared to the rate at which they were coming in the recent past.
Yeah. So currently, if you see the current scenario in the market, definitely there are line of companies wanted to list, but yes, because of market sentiments are not very good, even for SME or main board both. So definitely there will be impact in terms of number of listing which was happened last year compared to last year. What I thought that number of listing will reduce compared to last year. Though, as I said, lot many approvals are there even with us, even with some other merchant banker as well. So we understand the kind of market behavior, especially for SMEs, is not too good. But yes, listing is going to happen. Yeah, so number of listing may not be just like last year. And this, as you asking the fees of the merchant banker we generally charge, so according to me, we will not be reducing our cost, because our efforts are more. If market is not doing well, we have to do more effort, because we always get challenges to get the investors on board, even for any company, be it for SME. So according to me, there will be no cost of merchant banking fees to be reduced from the IPO activities, according to me.
I see. Got it, sir. So just one last question. If you could throw some light on that we have around, I think, 6 odd main board IPO mandates currently.
Yeah.
And I believe main board takes a longer time also in terms of the execution cycle compared to SME, and maybe a little more expertise. So maybe the investment involved in conducting a main board IPO might be more. So if you could throw some light on how you see the revenue coming in over the next few cycles from these main board IPO mandates. And also if we are looking to tighten our internal risk limits with the market making portfolio of 60 plus companies that we have, whether we are seeing any inventory risk due to the volatility.
Yeah. So first of all, in terms of quality checking, for the main board, due diligence is required comparing with SME, right? That's the first question.
Yes, sir.
So definitely, if you talk about this main board, definitely we have stronger team which we already have. Okay. So definitely today we have two set of manpower in the entire ecosystem within Gritex. One is for SME, one is for main board. So technically, definitely we need to have, having the proper due diligence for main board company. So we have two set of employees. One is for SME, one is for main board. So main board people have that kind of skill set which is required for main board, which we already have. So we don't need to increase any cost per se for the main board as well. that we have already in place, right? So that is there. I think your first question is answered, right?
Right, right, sir. And the second part was in terms of market making portfolio, the inventory risk that we are exposed to, given the correction in mid and small cap, with that volatility in context, whether we are looking at tightening our internal risk limits.
Yeah. See, now if you, I don't know whether you have attended our first call or not. I don't remember that. So what I remember that in first call, when we have internally discussed that we will be reducing the, SME IPOs gradually. We will be transforming our entire business model to the main board focused. So that our business, revenue will be much more and there will be lesser risk, because in SME only you need to invest at least 5% of the IPO size minimum as a market maker. As our market maker entities managed by us only, so the investment is compulsory to be done for in most of the SMEs company which we brought. So gradually we are going to decrease the SME IPOs and focusing on the main board. That's how we wanted to have. So definitely that risk we are reducing gradually going forward, and we will be focusing majorly on main board. And yes, SME we will be doing, but very limited company will be doing by Gretex going forward in future. So that's how we have internally we have discussed.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much. That's very useful, and all the best, sir. That's all from my
side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shania Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir.
Yeah.
I just had a few questions. First one, like, why there is so significant volatility in EBITDA margins?
Okay. See, in this industry, it's very important. We need to understand this industry. Major, listing happens, the business model what we have, the company, once company gets listed, that time only we'll get major revenue. It's not everyday listing is happening. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason this EBITDA margin keeps volatile. But yes, at the end of the year, our EBITDA margin will be 23 to 22%, which is the past track record of 2-3 years. And this year we are targeting 40 to 45% PAT margin at least in this financial year. So this is so this happens. If you see last 2-3 quarters results, then you will see the same kind of volatility will be there in last 2-3 years quarters.
Okay. Sure, sir. Sir, also, like, given the sharp reduction in the top line revenue number, does this also translate to a lower working capital requirement for our business, or how is it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Alok Harlalka for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all the participants who have given your time to attend this call. And I'm sure that this financial year, FY 2025-26, will be the best year, according to me, where we are trying to achieve more and more listing to happen, so that revenue will be much and profit margin will be much. So hope to reach that target very soon. Thank you all to joining us again. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Vertex Corporate Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.